I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Hi, everyone. It is Nathan Baker today. Welcome back to the Sports Ethos Fantasy MLB Today podcast. I'm on every Wednesday. We've got Anthony before me, Paul after me. Sometimes we mix it up a bit just to keep people off balance. But us and a team of others helping as well. Of course, Andre and some contributions from time to time from enough people that I can't remember because I'm horrible with remembering these types of things. But I have other abilities, believe it or not, that I can fill in with regardless. Some of which you can see on Twitter or X at NBakerNGB, where I'll talk about fantasy baseball. As I will do later today, I'll post any updated streamer advice from the pod. It's not that big of an issue for this week, but as we've had in weeks past, I will tweet out any newly announced streamers that might not have been available or not have been publicized at the time of the pod recording. Now, because it's 4th of July, that's not going to be an issue, but obviously follow us at Ethos Fantasy BB. That's where you'll see all of our Sports Ethos content. Those are daily pickup articles, feature articles, weather articles. Of course, you'll see these podcasts every day. So all of your fantasy baseball needs in one place. It's really a must follow and covers every aspect of fantasy baseball. So And obviously, this podcast, we try and give you guys as much as possible. Now, I'm someone like myself with a bit more of a radio background, albeit still as a young person doing radio. It's not dissimilar, although, you still have that differentiation of the expectation of mistakes, whereas obviously radio, you're doing it live. Everybody knows you're doing it live. If you make a verbal error, or if you misspeak, or if you get something wrong, or nobody really cares. Everybody understands live radio. Whereas there's definitely a change in that expectation for podcasts. But at least what I found is just kind of treat it the same, and it goes well. Of course, I've heard Anthony continues to get more comfortable, and he's someone who's probably got more podcast experience than myself, but I'm sure also for in both Anthony and Paul's case, a little more comfortable now that they can chirp me about their Astros beating my Mets in the weekend series, somehow fading Grimace's power, even if it was just for a series, which really, at the end of the day, comes down to the horrible state of the Mets bullpen. I will talk about that later. Of course, our usual itinerary, I'll go over Anthony's streamers for yesterday. I'll go over my streamers for today. And by what I mean by that, of course, is Anthony's streamers for today and mine for tomorrow, and give you my take on those. And at the end, I'll talk about some general theology as far as trade deadline thought goes with the third wild card, which really is a different game than it ever was, due to the recurring nature of it being a seller's market, the differing prices and relief pitchers, obviously prioritizing team control as something that gets bigger and bigger every year, especially for financially conscious organizations that, you know, really want those pre-arb years on a lot of those better players. Sometimes even just reasonably priced years, like someone like Luis Robert, who, speaking of which, if you're interested in Luis Robert, I can read about him and his trade value extensively in an article I wrote a couple of weeks ago, findable on at Ethos Fantasy VP. Might have seen he made a rather casual play to end the game. Or you can read about somebody with maybe some better reputation of magic, Francisco Alvarez, who was the subject for last week. Anyway, we'll have all of those subjects to go. I'll discuss the trade deadline stuff at the end. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all of the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's promo code BLEAV, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online, the game starts here. So, just to summarize our streamers from yesterday, and I should add, Anthony does a great job with these. He puts a tremendous amount of research into them, and almost all of them have very rock-solid logic, even the ones that don't work out. That's just the way it goes. Not all of them are going to pan out. Can only predict to some degree, but he does a fantastic job, and he included Davis Daniel against Oakland, which is a great matchup, I think. David Festa against the Tigers, which I also love. Brian Bello against the Marlins. I can't say I've been enthused with the way that Brian Bello has pitched, but as Anthony mentioned, you know, if he stinks against the Marlins, who are debatably the worst offense in baseball, we'll collectively shoot him into the sun. So maybe this is his last chance. And there is one that he did not mention that, in my opinion, should be at the very top of that list. Of course, some bias here, but even from genuinely from an objective point of view, Christian Scott is making his first major league start in a month through no fault of his own, just a byproduct of the Mets' trip to London and the Subway Series, both which put multiple off days in a rather short period of time into their schedule. The Mets elected to use that time to limit the innings of Christian Scott and Jose Buto, both of whom are back in the majors. Buto, for now, seemingly in a relief role, although I wouldn't be surprised if that changes next week, maybe in the place of Tyler McGill. But Scott is going to do great for your ratios. He's a high strikeout, low walk guy. He showed that his stuff plays in the big leagues. He's made improvements to his sweeper. The only potential apprehension with Scott in this start is that he's actually faced a couple of these Nationals hitters, some of whom are pretty tough against righties, but he's faced a couple of them in Rochester. Now, he did pretty well against them. He did well against Wood, but surrendered home run, I believe, to Dylan Cruz, who won't have to face. But anyways, on to the yellow flags. Andrew Abbott against the Yankees. If he can just walk Aaron Judge three times, please, maybe two if he just comes against twice, just stop throwing him strikes. The rest of their line, obviously Soto's tremendous, but Volpe's not hitting. They don't have protection for Judge. I think that's a fair yellow flag. Obviously, you can't put it in the category of the other guys because of the potential with the Yankees and Judge exists. It's not, when you look around that, it's not as intimidating as it seems. Kikuchi against the Astros, this one I would maybe say is an orange flag. This one has serious blow-up potential the way Kikuchi's playing. I would, if I'm being honest, avoid this one. A couple of others that he mentioned to avoid are Hicks against the Braves. Hicks obviously is a much different pitcher than he was when he was throwing 104 or 105 out of the bullpen. But he's always been a streaky pitcher, and it seems like he's in a not-so-good streak right now. Atlanta's a tough assignment. This is an easy avoid, I think. Mitchell Parker against the Mets, Mitchell Parker's been good. The Mets have been really good, and I think that's a fair fade. Obviously, you know, the matchup is really bad. But generally, I like Mitchell Parker, just not this time. Waka against the Rays, I think, is a fair fade. Theoretically, I would actually put Waka against the Rays in the yellow. If it were up to me, I would bet on him over Kikuchi. But of course, you know, I understand the Astros, you know, haven't necessarily done the best against some lefties, and there's some reasoning behind that. But I would prefer Waka marginally over Kikuchi. But either way, we're talking about, at best, very deep league plays. To summarize, the greens being Davis Daniel, David Festa, Brian Bello, Christian Scott, those are the ones to look for today. Now, for Thursday's options, I've got four that I'm going to talk about in terms of guys that should look good. The first is going to be Jose Quintana against the Nationals, who I think will be a bit better in points leagues because of the strikeouts to walks. It's not going to be a super high strikeout start. Quintana's always a walk a guy or two. But the way he's been going and the way Nationals have hit left-handed pitching, especially guys of Quintana's profile, even Quintana himself, the matchup looks pretty good. And I think you can rely on, you know, 5 to 6 solid innings with a couple runs. It'll give you a solid return. You're not going to get anything spectacular in all likelihood here. But if you want a solid, reliable streaming option, you know, 10-team, 12-team leagues, Quintana is good. I think even 10 is maybe a little bit small for someone like him. But if you, I suppose if you really want to play it safe, that's an option. Next, you've got Ben Lively against the White Sox. Now, the White Sox are obviously not a good ball club on either side of the ball. Lively's pitched well against them.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you.
Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43926-7V1.
I think this is a pretty easy one to identify. I'm fine with Ben Lively in 10 theme leagues. It's not that difficult of a calculation. The matchup's good. The pitcher's decent for streamer standards, and the ball club he's facing is not good. Lefties, righties, that hasn't really made a difference. Maybe we'll have to see how they do against Pat Vendetti or Jay, the young college switch pitcher. But Jameson Taillon against the Phillies is going to be the third. So Taillon's been pretty good recently, and this year as a whole. And the Phillies obviously are one of the best clubs in the league and have been this year, but they've not been that great recently. And of course, you've got to consider that the Phillies are a pretty shallow team on offense and with their pitching, but they've suffered some offensive injuries to their key guys. And of course, they're without Real Muto. They're without Schwarber and Harper, and those two are the big ones. And like, you know, as an example, they hit Brandon Marsh cleanup yesterday. This is not a formidable lineup in its current shape. So I think in 12 team leagues or bigger, I think this is a great play for Taillon. Now, you know, he has been bitten by the home run ball in the past. We'll have to see whether that's a possibility. Of course, you never know with really the way the wind's blowing, but I like that match. I think you could even push it for 10 team, depending on how optimistic you are. Then we have as our last streamer, I suppose, of the green flags, so to speak, Landon Knack against the D-backs. So I looked at some of the data here. The matchup isn't ideal. They've got some high ball hitters that will like hitting his fastball, and Knack throws up in the zone and does not do a good job. He doesn't keep the ball on the ground. He gets a lot of fly balls, but he hasn't done a great job of limiting exit velo either. And I worry that he could be tagged by some home runs here. Now, he is pitching at home, and he's a better pitcher than most of the guys that you're going to get in 10, well, maybe not 10, but certainly 12 team or larger leagues. So I would be fine with Knack just for the pitcher quality. This is a good litmus test for him, because if he succeeds against Arizona, it's definitely one to keep going forward, especially in those 12 team, certainly 14 team leagues that you'd be streaming him in. I've got a couple of yellow flag, and these are, you know, guys that 14 team leagues or greater, you know, NLAL only type plays. And the first is Andre Pallante. The matchup is good against Pittsburgh, but he doesn't really strike guys out. He walks a lot of people. That in and of itself is bad. So I don't think he's going to give up a ton of runs. It's not a great offense. O'Neill Cruz has been swinging it well recently against righties, and, you know, that's a concern because, you know, Pallante is a potential victim in that regard, but they don't have a ton of guys that are going to hurt you, Pittsburgh. But the strikeout to walk totals aren't going to be great. So the ceiling is low. I'm not even looking at this in anything smaller than 14. And even then, yeah, it's an iffy one. Alec Marsh is the other one. And obviously, you know, good ballpark to pitch in, but not at pitching quality wise, not the best. And he said, look, the matchup data isn't bad, honestly, for Marsh. If you look at the way that Marsh has fared against Rays hitters, it's actually quite good. XWOB of 243 for Rays hitters against Marsh. But he's just in terms of quality of pitcher, not quite there, even if, again, the numbers against Tampa's bad. But that's why I'm putting him in yellow. I would put him above Pallante for what it's worth. So if you have Marsh and Pallante, I'd take Marsh over Pallante, both in the yellow 14 team leagues. Three fades, which I won't spend too much time on. But the first is Tobias Myers, who's been good, but his peripherals aren't that great. He's pitching at Coors Field. That's why. At the end of the day, even if you do strike out the world, honestly, of course, it's risky because you don't know how the spin is going to react on your breaking balls. Interested to see how Seth Lugo pitches this weekend at Coors. That'll be a very interesting one. Not a streamer, obviously, but just in terms of one of those curious guys. You never know how it's going to fare at that park. But But Myers, I'd avoid. Too much risk. His peripherals aren't great. He's been pitching reasonably well recently, but this is not a good matchup. The next is Kenta Maeda, who's been a little bit better recently. The matchup isn't bad in terms of the way that Twins hitters would fare against him. But pitching against his former team for a guy who's not that good anymore, I wouldn't touch it, especially against a good offensive team. You know, if you have a bad start against the Twins, they can really put a hurting on you, get you well into the negatives or into categories so you ruin your week. And the last one is Martin Perez. This is just a landmine. Bad matchup. I hate to say bad pitcher, but, you know, I liked Martin Perez early in his career, but he's not the type of lefty that you'd like to take advantage of the Cards left-handers. You know, the Cardinals have been a little streaky, but they have offensive potential. Of course, it's worth noting their best hitters have been, you know, Donovan, Burleson, Gorman, left-hander, Mason Wynn. Although, obviously, Gorman has been terrible recently, although he just hit a grand slam. It's ironic, of course, how this was a team that a year ago was, you can't start a left-hander against them because Goldie and Arenado, and now it's almost the opposite with the degree of left-handed presence in that lineup. But Perez, nonetheless, I don't think is the answer. So to summarize quickly for Thursday's options, we've got Ben Lively against the White Sox, Jose Quintana against the Nats, Jameson Taillon against the Phillies, Landon Knack against the D-backs. Alec Marsh and Andre Pallante are okay. You had a 14-team plus yellow flag options. And then the fades, Tobias Myers, just not worth the risk at Coors. You know, nobody knows how well he's going to fare at Coors. Probably not even the Brewers or Myers himself, but we'll find out. Not worth the risk. Kenta Maeda against his old club. And Martin Perez against the Cardinals. And of course, the Cardinals are going to be in that mix as far as teams who are probably potentially going to be buying and potentially going to be selling. And as we get closer to the trade deadline, less than a month away, this subject is relevant for at least 8 to 9, 10 clubs in the league, really a third of the league or more, in terms of what the best course of action is, just in terms of team philosophy. Obviously, you can go on a player-by-player basis and say, okay, trade this guy, you know, keep this guy, etc. But even talking about the philosophy, okay, are we looking to sell rentals? Are we looking to keep rentals? Are we looking to add rentals? Are we only looking to, you know, maybe sell rentals and then acquire guys with team control? Or, you know, sell rentals and then subsidize that with cheaper rentals and then see if we can sneak in the back door in the wild card. It really is a very, it's a different environment than it was even 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, with pre wild card game, but even just with the two wild card teams, because of how much of the league you have that is at least in the periphery of the race. Now, we have seen that most of those teams generally, when it comes to the trade deadline, are not the ones that come from 6-7 games back, which is doable and has been doable with the older formats. But the reality is the teams that are 6-7 back at the deadline are generally not good enough to make any sort of push, even with not that great of a hole. But the teams that are 2 back, you know, it used to be, if you were 2 games back of a playoff spot, it's an automatic that you'd buy at the deadline. Why? You have a chance to win a World Series. But we're at a point now where there's teams that are 3 games out, 2.5 games out, that are legitimate potential sellers. And obviously, you know, there's some ways to go. It's someone like the Giants, who have some tradable assets, could easily have a great month and get over 500 and start challenging the Padres and the Cardinals and the Braves and the Mets and those teams and being right in the mix of wildcard race. They could also drop down to 4 or 5 games out, in which case it becomes an easier decision. The question is going to be for teams that look like they're at the beginning of the window. The Mets are a great example of this. And this, you know, specifically when it comes to the Mets, a unique scenario in that they almost have too much starting pitching. between Severino and Minaya and Quintana and Hauser, who, in my opinion, is not a particularly viable starter for a playoff team, but could start for somebody. And obviously you have McGill and Peterson and Buto and Christian Scott. And, of course, in the minors, you have plenty of options. Dom Hamill and Vassell have not had the best season so far, but Blade Tidwell has.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Brandon Sproat has probably not guys that would be imminent options, but you know, in 2 months with an aggressive push, I wouldn't be stunned to see them contribute at the major league level. The question for them is, you know, if the Mets are say five games over 500, maybe third wild card spot, a game out of it at the trade deadline, do you have the stones, so to speak, to trade someone like Sean Minaya, who's been pretty good, maybe not an ideal playoff game starter per se, but a key part in keeping the line ticking, especially if the offense is going to perform anywhere close to the way it has, with the risk that, of course, okay, now we're going to put some more trust in some of our young guys, which I don't think the issue is, but you're one injury away from seriously regretting making said deal. So, the question is, to what extent are we going to see teams that are buyers, like the Mets, who are, you know, a little, I would say, a year before their true window, to what extent are we going to see those sort of teams willing to sell but still stay in contention? So, of course, you know, someone like the Mets, if they trade J.D. Martinez, say, they're likely to struggle. That's the kind of player that is enough. Key enough to their team. You know, you could add someone like Luis Severino in that, although I think even Sevy, they could be okay without. but someone like JD Martinez would be a core enough member that if they would trade him, they're unlikely to contend for anything. To what extent is Stearns willing to rip that up? It's interesting because we saw him do it with Josh Hader, of course. A trade which I still actually stand by was probably the right decision, even though it didn't work out for Milwaukee. But in terms of maximizing Hader's value, I felt did that. Now, Stearns acknowledged you can't really do that type of thing in New York. Of course, the ultimate selling move would be to trade Pete Alonso away, which I'm sure would get them a rather unprecedented haul as far as rentals go. But at the end of the day, this is someone who probably has more value as a franchise player, even with some honestly concerning decline indicators, which, you know, as a Met fan, I certainly hope are able to be reversed. And look, Pete's a special player. I would not be surprised in the slightest to see those go the other way in short order. But, you know, I can't pretend they don't exist. They do. But man, that's something for a future article, for a future pod. Who knows, maybe down the road. Hopefully I won't be writing it in the context of him being on another team in a month. Although I can tell you I will be writing trade deadline reviews. Last year, for those who were on the Ethos roll last year, you would have seen my articles rating every team's trade deadline, the acquisitions, all the prospects that have come in. Of course, you know, I'm the kind of person that's delved very deep into some of even the lesser minor league pieces and ETAs and what you can reasonably expect. Some of those guys, you know, even look from the DJ Herzes of the world to Victor Vodnik. You know, there are some guys who are filling various roles this year who I spoke about who are not particularly known. But I'll be doing the same thing with some help, thankfully, from some very excellent baseball minds, as really everyone here at Sports Ethos is. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening today and every day. Of course, we'll have Paul on tomorrow, and obviously he'll, you know, be able to tell you how my streamers are hopefully have done okay, and I'll tweet out as well any additional options. Although, full disclaimer, my podcast streamers have been a lot better than the ones that I've tweeted this far. I'm gonna guess my hit rate on the podcast streamers is probably over 80%. And I think I'm 1 for 3 on the tweeted one so far. So who knows? Maybe you ought to listen to what I say and not what I tweet, but I'll leave that up to you. I just want to thank Bet Online for sponsoring this episode. As always, remember to follow at Ethos Fantasy BB. That's at Ethos Fantasy BB, at NBaker NGB. That's myself. And thanks very much and have a nice day. Bye bye.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP 43926 7V1.
Meet Kara. Kara's thing is perfectly juggling her family's packed schedule.
Monday soccer, Tuesday haircuts, Wednesday birthday party.
She doesn't have a whole lot of spare time, so she shops at Walmart for all of her over-the-counter medications.
Thursday swimming, Friday groceries.
That way, she can help keep her family healthy and on track without having to make an extra stop or spend a lot on health and wellness essentials.
Saturday, fill the medicine cabinet. Sunday, massage for me.
Yeah, you've earned that. Welcome to your one-stop shop. Welcome to your Walmart.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.